beginning at verse 44 of chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. That which a man found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and was gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and set down and gathered the good unto vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And it shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, Have ye understood all these things? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, and bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Praise God for the reading and the hearing of his precious word. I heard the Holy Ghost years ago speaking to the church through one of his servants down here. And I remember the Spirit warning the people that there was coming a sifting time. Do they still have those in the kitchen? Do you still have a sifter? Well, you know how a sifter works. Put the flour in it, and you start the crank, and it has a sieve in the bottom, and it pushes the flour through it, but what gets left? The stuff that you don't use. The chaff, if you please, if you're threshing wheat outside, is what gets left. So there comes in people's life a sifting time. And there comes in the world, there's a sifting time coming to the world. And I have to tell you something, folks. Everybody that's professed religion is not going to heaven. Everybody that has professed that they know Christ is not going to heaven. The truth is, my friend, that many are going to be left behind, but many are going to be taken. Now, Jesus, in teaching about the kingdom, has told them three things, three stories. And he's told them a story about a hidden treasure. He's told them a story about a pearl that brought a great price. And he talked about a great net, a fishing net, that was cast into the sea. Now, as you look at that, my friend, you have to think about this. Sometimes we get our theology not from the book, but from the music that we hear and the words of songs. Songwriters are not necessarily spiritual. Songwriters sometimes are very unspiritual people, and they write whatever is the product of their life, what they've been taught, what they've heard, what they've felt, and it's not necessarily what the Word of God said. I am making concerted effort not to say anything that isn't in the book. If the Bible says it, I want to say it. But if the Bible's silent about it, then I want to not say that at all. I don't want to say what the Bible doesn't say, because in doing that, I might be teaching something that was wrong. I might be misguiding someone down the wrong path. So I want to be sure that we're going the right way. Now, the first thing he tells about is a man who found a great treasure. He had searched and worked the ground. He may have been a sharecropper. He may have been a farmer that worked for other people. But whoever he was and whatever he was doing, he worked the land. And in digging and scraping and working through the land, he came across a great treasure. Now, the question becomes, what am I going to do with this treasure? What's going to happen with this treasure? Well, I'll tell you what he did with it. He took it and he hid it somewhere else, and he kept it hidden for the time being. Later, he came back. Oh, the treasure was so great, he didn't know how he would get it. He didn't know how he would get it off the land without anybody knowing about it. So what he did, he took his money that he saved, and when he got enough, he bought the whole field just for one thing. What was that? To get the treasure. I owned the field. He didn't tell the landowner about it. He didn't tell anybody about it. He said, I'm going to buy this field. And he worked and he worked and he gave everything he had to purchasing that field. And he bought it and he hid his treasure in it and he waited. And the time came that he could extract that treasure from the ground, and he took it and he became a very rich man. There was another man who was a merchant. He was a jeweler. He went around doing jewelry work and purchasing things that were valuable. And in all the things that he was looking at, and in all the pearls that he was looking at, he suddenly discovered there was the biggest, most wonderful pearl in that group of things that ever was. So he did the same thing. He sold all that he had, gave it all up, gave up everything he had to do what? To purchase the pearl of great price. Now, sometimes our theology, because of the song, wants to talk about this pearl of great price being the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was not paid for. He was not bought. He was not sold. When it talks about him, about the pearl of great price, it's not talking about him, it's talking about somebody else and something else. So we have a man who has found a treasure, and he has invested all he had in that treasure, given all he could give to it, and made it his own. We have a man who has purchased the most wonderful pearl that he ever saw, and he gave up everything he had and sold everything he had to get that pearl. And then he told the story of the net, of the fishing net, on the Sea of Galilee, no doubt. And as he talks about this, you have to visualize it. We fish pretty much one fish at a time, if we're lucky enough. We fish with a rod or reel, sometimes with a trot line across the river, but we don't fish in any great quantities. Now, the Sea of Galilee is abundant with fish, still is, and was especially then. And what they did, they dropped a net out of two boats, and the net had weights on one side, and that caused it to go to the bottom of the lake. On the top of the net, there were floats that floated the net so you didn't lose it. So the net is in the water, anchored at the bottom by the weights and at the top by the buoys, we might call them. And as it sits there, what happens? Here comes the fish. The fish are all coming this way, and they get into the net, and they grab the net and they pull it up. And when they pull it up, they got a net full of fish. But there's a problem. They're not all good fish. They're not all edible fish. The net is completely filled with fish, but there's all kinds of fish. There's some that's not fit to eat. There's some that you would not want to eat. There's all kinds of fish in there. But in that net, there's some really good fish that are wonderful to eat and profitable to sell. What he says is, the day comes when the fishermen pull the net to shore. And when they pull the net to shore, they begin to separate the fish that are in it. And into these baskets, they throw the good fish. All the fish that are edible and for sale, they keep. And they keep the good fish in the baskets. What happens to the other fish? They throw them back. They throw all the other fish back. And what happens when they throw them back? Well, it doesn't say hell, but it says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that certainly does sound like the description of hell that Jesus gave us, doesn't it? So when I look at it, then I see this great net, and the Bible's very plain. You say, when is this time coming that they're going to divide the fish? Well, the angels are going to come, and they're going to divide the fish. And they're going to put the good fish over on the right-hand side, and they're going to put the bad fish on the left-hand side. And the ones that are all the fish, what I'm saying, all the fish that are gathered in are not going to make it in because they aren't qualified. They aren't right. They have professed that I am a fish. It's kind of like the fig tree. The fig tree has leaves on it. If you see a fig tree out here and it's covered with leaves, you have a right to expect to pull those leaves apart and look at the tree and find out that there are figs on it. So if you see a fig tree along the road with leaves on it and it's waving its leaves in the wind, it's saying, I'm a fig tree, I'm a fig tree. But when you open the leaves up and you look in the tree, there's no figs. What profit is a tree that has no figs on it? What good would that possibly be in a tree that has no figs on it? Well, this is what Jesus said it will be like at the end of the world. There is coming a sifting time, my friend. There's coming a time when all that's valuable will be carried home and all that's not will be left behind. And it's very clear about that. Now, the pearl of great price and the great treasure is the kingdom of God is like the man with the treasure. The kingdom of God is like the man who bought the pearl of great price. You see, the song will make you believe that you, the church of God, that you are the pearl of great price. But my friends, the very wonderful truth is that you are not the pearl of great price. Well, Jesus is not the pearl of great price. He gave himself for what? For you. For everything he could do, for everything he could have, how much did God invest in you? How much did God invest in your life? How much did God pay the price for you? Yes, he did. How much did he pay? All that he had. Like the man with the treasure, like the man with the pearl. My brothers and sisters, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. My brothers and sisters, the wonderful, glorious truth is that there has been a price paid for you. Church of the Living God, you are the pearl of great price. You are the pearl that was extracted from all the others, from all the other pearls that was there. He pulled you out and he saved your soul. And how much did he pay for you? All that was due. Everything that was due for you, he paid for it. Everything that it took to set you free, he paid for it. We sing an old hymn sometimes, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And my brothers and sisters, that's exactly what happened. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven and set aside the glories of heaven, set aside the powers of heaven, set aside the brightness of heaven, to enter the darkness of this world. And the Lord Jesus, my friend, came down here and he paid the price to get the treasure out of what? The world. The earth, if you go back to chapter 13, it tells you that this is the world. He extracted the treasure from the world. He extracted the pearl from among all the other things that were there. And my brothers and sisters, I want you to think about it today. I caught myself one day praying, Lord, count me worthy for you to hear my prayer. I could never be worthy. I could never be worthy. I have to have faith in his goodness and his kindness and his love. He loved us so much that he set aside everything that there was to bring us into his eternal fellowship. And when the net sweeps through the waters of this earth and is pulled out of the world on the day of judgment, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you some good news. If you are the good fish, you'll be put in the basket and carried home. But I have some bad news for some of us. If you are not in the good fish basket, my friend, you will be cast out. There is a sifting time coming. He calls it the day of judgment. That's what a judge does. He sits on the bench and he judges the good and the bad. And my friend, every one of us, doesn't the scripture say that? Sure it does. Every one of us will stand before God, stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and give an account of the deeds that we have done in this body. My brothers and sisters, I look at this and I think about the times of revival when in a whole community, a net would sweep through the community. Revival conviction would come. People would cry out to God and talk to God and pray to God, and people would be getting saved right and left. Then when the revival's over and the fire dies down a little bit and people have to go from day to day and week to week and month to month, and they have to endure and they have to fight and they have to get their way up, you know what we find out? We find out that lots of those people were behind. I never forget Brother Grant Johnson stopping at his house one day, and his neighbor saw who we were down in the road and began to holler at us about glad to see that we're still going on. And I never forget what Brother Johnson said. He said, well, if they're going on, they probably met several of you coming back. Well, I think maybe he was right when he said that. I have to tell you, my friend, today you're in the time of the net. The net is sweeping through the world. Now you say, well, I'd like to see those revivals break out like once did. Me too. All of us. But let me tell you something. In Africa, in South America, in other places, there are outpourings of the Holy Ghost. And people are being saved. People are being drawn. There are evangelists and people in Africa that fill soccer stadiums. Not just the stands, but the ground too. Fill whole soccer stadiums with people seeking the Lord. There are places on earth that their net is sweeping. It's still the day of the sweeping net. It's still the day where the price is paid for the pearl, for the treasure. You, my friend, are God's treasure. He's invested everything he has in you. You, my friend, are the pearl of great price, because he has paid the great price for you. There was no more to pay. Brothers and sisters, God invested every bit of eternity in you. Everything he has invested for you. All that God has, he laid it on the line for you and paid the price in full. Now, you say, well, how did bad fish get among the good fish? How did tares get along the wheat? In the visible church, and I have to tell you this, you can't always trust the visible church, because the visible church on earth is made up out of people. And it's made out of people who have faults and failures and make miscues, misunderstandings, all kinds of things. But my friends, I can tell you today that God is going to have a day when he sifts the wheat. He told Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you. Satan has desired to sift you, Peter, as wheat. And boy, he did, didn't he? Peter went through it. But in the end, Peter won out. In the end, he's up in Rome being crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified the way the Lord was. So they crucified him upside down with his feet up in the air. He was put in prison. He was beat. All those things happened to Peter. And you say, after he denied him three times? Yes, because Jesus said, Satan has desired to have you, Peter, and he's desired to sift you as wheat. But what did he say then? But I have prayed for you. Wow. That's who I want on my prayer team. Jesus Christ said, I have prayed for you. And my friend, he prayed, and Peter made it. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, you think about all these descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all these descendants of Joseph, all these descendants of the Israelites and the Israelite nation. God led them out of Egypt by the ministry of Moses. That's great. That's true. But everybody that came out didn't make it to the promised land. How many made it? 2 out of 2 million. 2 out of 2 million made it to the promised land. Why didn't they make it? Unbelief. Not believing what God said. Not believing what God was doing. You say, well, they were always complaining. They were always fussing. They were always growling about stuff. Must have been the 21st century church in America, I think. Do you realize that we Christians all over the world, particularly all over the United States, are the richest group of Christians that's ever lived? We're the best fed group of Christians that's ever lived. We're the best clothed Christians that's ever lived. Sadly, we're the best entertained Christians that's ever been. Brothers and sisters, when Moses came out, there was a whole bunch of people that saw the Israelites going out and they said, we're going with you. They're called the mixed multitude. They were not Jews. They were not devout. They had not paid the price. They jumped on board. And lots of folks would like to do that, jump on board and get out. Well, the mixed multitude consistently and every day caused Moses to go through a hard time. Satan came along and he sowed tares all among the wheat. Jesus talks about that. And when they went out to gather the wheat, what are we going to do with these tares? How are we going to do this? Lord, should we go pull them up? Should we go pull them up and get them out? He said, no, let them grow. Because if you pull up the wheat now, the tares now, you'll pull up the wheat also. But the day is coming when the angels will come with their sickles and they will cut the wheat. And when they do, they will thrash it. And when they thrash the wheat will fall because it's got some weight to it, and the tares will blow away and it will be separated. Brothers and sisters, there is a time of separation coming. All who have walked in the crowd along the way are not necessarily going. But all those, my friend, who are the good fish, who are the pearl of great price, who are the treasure hidden in the field, all of those who have accepted the price that God paid, God sent Jesus to die for us. And he paid the price so that old Eddie Kendall don't have to go to hell. Old Eddie Kendall has a right. I used to hear Brother Mooney say this all the time when he testified, say, had a right to the tree of life. Wow, that's pretty neat, isn't it? Having a right to the tree of life, I have that right. Not because of my goodness, not because I've done anything so great, but because Jesus paid everything he had to set me free, pulled me out as a treasure out of dry ground, pull me out as a pearl of great price and pull me out of the net and save me from the snare of the enemy. Amen. If you're here today, I challenge you. Be part of the crowd that's going to be taken to the Father's house. You see, he didn't save the pearl to do away with it. He paid for the pearl to keep it. He paid for the treasure to keep it. He paid for the good fish to keep them. Today, my friends, Jesus has paid the price for you. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to fall by the wayside. My friend, God has made a way for you to be saved. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you today so much that we have the opportunity to be here in your house. I thank you that we have the opportunity to see and to know the blessings of God. I thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to know that Christ has paid the price for us and the Spirit of the living God has come to bless and to undertake. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you will bless this congregation. And Lord, as we go from this place, that we can go from it with the truth of God in our heart, that Jesus paid the price so that I may live. Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Congregation said, Amen.